today. It's Saturday. Woo! Sports talk, y'all. Let's go.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Thank you for joining us on a special Saturday show. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out our website. We're very interactive at rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, at rayandtaytoday. And also check us out on Facebook, Ray and Tay Today. We're sort of everywhere. You see, check out our YouTube videos. We've got some interesting things on there, some of the, you know, best of our show, some of our great interviews. You know, we've had some great guests from like Charles Davis, Seth Davis, Al Troutwig, the MSG and Olympian who covers the Olympics and is covering the Olympics and doing a great job right now, Coach David Shaw. So check it out and give us your comments. Let us know some feedback. We love it. So, Ray, let them know how we're going to break down this Saturday show.
We've got a lot of hot, heavy-hitting sports topics, so we're going to get into it. We're going to bring you the breaking news of the day, a little bit in basketball, a little bit in football. We almost had a coach traded. That hasn't happened that in a long time. But there is a precedent in the NFL for that, maybe even in NBA as well. We've got
Doc Rivers
going on. Yeah, we got the Olympics going on. We will go over the medal count. The USA hockey had a tough day yesterday, having a tough day today. We'll go into NBA. We'll talk about some of the trade deadline trades. We'll talk about the Heat looking like they might be the best team in the league again. Our Knicks. Carmelo puts in 40, but they're struggling. And then we'll talk about a big week and weekend in NCAA hoops. So we've got a lot of top 25 teams in action. We'll go through that. And then we'll finish up the show with the NFL Combine. So a lot of quarterbacks.
Athletic big guys.
Under the spotlight and some big old beefy linemen running some decent 40s, showing some athleticism. So we've got a lot to talk about. Let's start it off with the breaking news. So let me ask you, how's your nose right now? Because LeBron's isn't so good.
You know, he's a warrior, and that game, I thought it was very interesting because if you remember the last time they played, Miami went up like, 16 or 19 as well, and OKC came storming back and won. Well, this time around, D-Wade's hitting a little jump, you know, mid-range jumper, Bosch is doing his thing, and LeBron was, you know, pretty dominating, and the Heat were able to beat OKC. And what I saw from LeBron was, you know what, the MVP race is not over. This battle is on. Tired of the Durant talk. I'm still the cat's meow, and don't disrespect me. So, he takes the shot, blood, you know, broken nose, whatever, and all that stuff. But it was a big win for the Heat.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in the NBA. But, yeah, I mean, just
is he rocking a mask, right?
Break your nose. Yeah, he might have to raise a game time decision, I guess, for the game, for their next game. But he breaks his nose. Kobe, it looks like, is out another 3 weeks, so we don't know when Kobe will be back. And then in other breaking news, Jim Harbaugh apparently was very close to being traded from the San Francisco 49ers to the Cleveland Browns. Now, the Browns have a history and the DeBartolos and everything with the Niners, so maybe there's some connection there. But that was weird. Why would he leave San Francisco to go to Cleveland? I didn't really understand that. Apparently that deal was close to happening.
Yeah, I kind of don't. I don't know. Listen, I think it's about someone else trying to appreciate you more than where you're at. But I think at the end of the day, he's built up something pretty amazing in San Francisco, and I think he knows it. So I think it's all about leverage. Look at our guy, Saban, with Alabama. you know, oh, Texas is knocking on the door calling. Let's just give me an extension, more money, and more years at Alabama, and I'll stay here. So I think it's much to do about nothing, no matter what, you know, people are saying and all that stuff. But it is fascinating. And, you know, man, the NFL's heating up. Your boy Sidney Rice was released, by the way.
Yeah, so, that was obvious. I mean, he got signed to five-year, $41 million contract, so he didn't live up to that, so they got rid of him. They're also paying Percy Harvin big money, so they can't have two injury-prone big-money receivers. So Sidney will catch on somewhere, though. He's not that old yet. If he can stay healthy, he's still a productive
receiver. If he can stay healthy. So do they re-sign Tate or Baldwin or both, or do you sign one and then draft maybe a second-round receiver because you know that they are – going to go with Jermaine Kearse, who really developed, and Percy Harvin.
I think they.
What do you
yeah,
do with Baldwin
they,
and Tate?
You have to sign one of them. I think they're going to sign Baldwin, let Tate go. Tate's going to want more money, especially because he's got a little more upside maybe, and he can return, even though Baldwin returns as well. So, yeah, they'll let one of them go. I think between Kearse, Harvin, and Baldwin, I think they're okay. So Golden Tate's going to be one of the top receivers on the free agent market. I know the Jets were looking at him. A few other teams were looking at him. Look, he's a decent player. I don't know that you build your team around him, but he's a decent, you know, second or third receiver. But Seattle can let him go. No problem.
Man, let me ask you, man, what's going on in Sochi? I mean, you know, the women lost to Canada.
They were up
2-0
with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the gold medal game. So then they scored.
You can't lose that.
3:30, and then they scored with about 30 seconds or 50 seconds left, the Canadians, and then they scored in overtime. So what a dagger. The Canadians have the U.S. women's number. They beat them 4 in a row. Brutal. And the problem
was
that
carried over to the men. Well, the men just went down 4-0 now.
Well, that carried over to the men yesterday with Canada.
Losing to Canada,
and the men lost to Canada 1-0. The Canadians are just big and strong on defense. Canadians are the best team. They haven't been playing the best. You could argue that the Americans were playing better. But, again, great goaltending on both sides. But ultimately, Canada won, and then the air was taken out of the balloon. There's 7.5 minutes left, and Finland's up 4-0. So it looks like the U.S. is not going to come home with a medal. Finland's going to take the bronze, and then
that's disappointing. That's really disappointing.
Time.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's not. See, and the thing is that we send a pretty good team. So to not medal when we've medaled in the last. Probably 2 or 3 Olympics.
Gold to silver last. I think the problem was
5-0.
Yeah.
Oh wow, Ray, this is bad.
Yeah,
okay.
The problem was the U.S. team's gold medal game was yesterday when they lost to Canada 1-0. So it's the psychology of sports, you know. The U.S. should beat Finland. The U.S. is a better team, but. They didn't come to play for whatever reason. They just didn't have it together. So, yeah, so U.S. comes home without a medal. But look at this, the medal count.
Yeah.
U.S. and Russia, 27 apiece, ahead of Norway with 25, Canada with 24, and the Netherlands, the Dutch, 22. They do more than just speed skating, but they rock speed skating, that's for sure.
They've definitely rocked the speed skating. They were impressive. It's been a pretty good Olympics. I got to say, I was into it more in the beginning, sort of, you know, faded off a little bit. But overall, I would say pretty good games. I think the weather and the time difference has been a little bit of a damper on it. And some of the Americans who were favored kind of didn't, you know, show up. Per se.
Yeah, speed skating, figure skating. There have been some disappointments, even in skiing and snowboarding. So there's been some disappointments. The interesting thing is, so these Olympics are coming to an end. The next Olympics are going to be in Rio. Summer Olympics are going to be in Rio. So that's actually fantastic for the U.S. being the Western Hemisphere and also more or less in the U.S. time zones, so that'll be great. The next Winter Olympics, though, they're going to be in Korea, so you're going to have the same issue, even worse. It's going to be 13 hours
out
of the East Coast.
Oh, 13? Wow.
Yeah,
that's...
so it's going to be on some serious tape delay.
Well, look, it is what it is. Everything's not about America, you know.
For sure.
I think it's definitely. I'm looking forward to the Summer Olympics in Rio, though. Hopefully, you know, they got the infrastructure and everything all together. You know, Brazil as a nation's been booming for the last 5 to 10 years. So let's see what they do and what they build and how it all flows and goes.
Brazil.
The press conference for Michael Sam is coming up. We'll talk about the combine later, but this press conference for Michael Sam is coming up. And just one quick note, I want to ask you, how big is your hand? Because everybody made a big deal.
10 inches,
about
baby.
Teddy Bridgewater was only 9 inches. And so they say for the inclement weather, like Rodgers and Favre are 10 inches, and, you know, they're playing Lambeau. Everybody's concerned about his hand. But I got to ask you this. Don't you think the guy's had his inches of hand for most of his life and played quarterback with it? I want to say it's much to do about nothing, but Ryan Tannehill fumbles a lot. He's got 9-inch hands as well. So maybe there's something to it. These NFL guys kind of, know when you're getting rushed and the guys try to hit it out of your hands, if your hand isn't as big or it's rainy or the bad weather, maybe you're more apt, to commit turnovers. I don't know.
I think it might be. We might be into the analysis paralysis stage. I mean, I still think that 90%+ of what you can find out about somebody, you find out on the videotape.
On the tape, yeah.
You find out about what he did against top level competition, and that's where the SEC guys really shine, right? But I don't know. Maybe on the margin, if the guy's got slightly bigger hands and you're a cold weather team, you're from Buffalo or you're, whatever, Seattle, Chicago, maybe. I don't know. But we'll see.
And Johnny Manziel is not 6 feet.
5'11¾".
All right. We'll get to the combine at the end. These offensive linemen and then the tight ends are, start running soon. They're, going at it. So it's definitely looking impressive. So I want to look at and talk to you about the NBA. We're not going to go through all of them. Everyone's known them. The deadline ended Thursday, 3:00. But out of the different deals, which deal that happened was most interesting or impressive to you? And then who were you surprised that didn't make a move in terms of certain roster moves or teams, whether it's Portland or, this team or that team?
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say about this too. But my biggest trade was, two things stood out to me. Number one was the Sixers being very active, getting rid of Hawes and then getting rid of Evan Turner. So the flip side of that is the Indiana Pacers.
But they kept Thaddeus Young.
Thaddeus Young. So the Indiana Pacers, who are in contention for a title, traded Danny Granger. And we talked a little bit about this off air. I like Danny Granger of 2 years ago, especially in the playoffs when you need a third scorer. So I think his offensive firepower could have been helpful to them. But Evan Turner's versatile, and Evan Turner can play multiple positions. The problem I have this year is he's scoring 17 a game, but he's shooting 42% from the field, right? So he's a high-volume shooter to get his 17 points. But what it does do
part
is
of that is his team,
though,
less quality of players, too, and sometimes taking shots,
I think
shots.
His 17 is deceptive. He's not a 17-a-game scorer. He's like 13 a game, 12, 13, 14 a game. He's sort of like a Deshaun Stevenson on offense. But it gives him some versatility. He can play the 2. He can play the 3. He can handle the ball a little bit, like you said, against Miami. So all in all, do you think if you're sitting in Indiana listening to Ray and Tay right now, do you think that your Pacers are better off or worse off with Evan Turner versus Danny Granger?
Well,
maybe
I'm going to tell you.
Out of LaVoy Allen.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit better off only because with Granger playing, when you have him with George, you move George to the 2. George is showing that he's a pure three. He's not as comfortable at the two. So then when you bring in Evan Turner, yes, they could do the bigger lineup against the Heat when the Heat sometimes, you know, go with Wade and Allen in the backcourt. Well, you can match it with Turner and Stevenson. But then remember, Stevenson is also a free agent. And you might have to pay Stevenson more than Turner. And you could probably re-sign Turner for less next year if you lose Stevenson. So it's also insurance for the future, you know. And so I think overall it was a very smart move. And I tend to think, look, teams are playing still 10 to 13 guys a night. And, you know, when you get in the playoffs, there's foul trouble. And there's also matchups. Scola can get you offense, but sometimes he won't play D. Lavoy Allen's a little bit more athletic and can bang. Did well in the Philly series when they beat Boston. And I think Lavoy Allen can give you some minutes in the playoffs. He showed he could score a little bit and rebound and has done well in the playoffs and in a playoff series. So you just don't know what it's going to come down to. You don't know if David West gets hurt and then Lavoy's got to step up and Scola's got to play more. So you never know. So for me, getting that extra body, I think it was a really smart move. And so I think the Pacers are in a good position. And listen, if you get 10 to 15 minutes out of Bynum, they could be cutting down the nets and getting a championship in Indiana this season. So that's pretty interesting.
But Miami looks great, though. So Miami looks like they looked at the calendar, and they said March is right around the corner, and they woke up. And
well, let me ask you this.
It looks like – no, I was just going to say that it looks like the one thing that they can't control is the maybe the most important thing is Dwayne Wade's health, because when he's healthy – they've got to be the favorites, even against Indiana. They may even catch Indiana for the number one seed, so even more reason for them to be favored. But even if they're the number two seed, I got to think if Dwayne Wade is healthy, that they're a slight favorite.
Right. And look at what they did. So they did send Roger Mason, I think, to Sacramento. So they freed up a roster spot. And then there's four players out there that they could scoop up. Number one right now. Big baby Glenn Davis, which I definitely like for him to there, or I like him to Golden State or to Portland. But the Bobcats are going to negotiating a buyout with Ben Gordon. Okay, a little insurance for Dwayne Wade, a little shooter to play the two. You also have Earl Clark out there, who was waived after the trade.
By the Sixers. Earl Clark. I liked him in college. I don't understand why at 6'9" he can't stick on a roster.
No, I don't know either, but, you know, he showed himself to be pretty good last year with the Lakers. So it's just, you know, sometimes these players, it's just the right system. And you know this more than anybody because we saw it happen first 3 years, nothing in Portland with Jermaine O'Neal. Then he goes to the Pacers and becomes an all-star. But wait, there's two more, Ray. So then the Sixers, right, they waived Earl Clark. The Hawks just waived Antoine Jamison, the veteran. So a veteran scorer who's sort of a 3-4 but still can put the ball in the hole is out there now. And you still got, you know, Thug Life, Steven Jackson, who, you know, say what you want, can play defense and score. So it'll be interesting to see with these four or five guys out there if teams, playoff teams, say, you know what, I'll get somebody for cheaper. I don't have to trade. And, you know, we can sign this guy or sign that guy. So there's going to be some movement in the next week or two. And people should keep an eye out on these different guys and these players. I did also like there was one other deal. I forgot who it was, but I think it was
The Spurs.
I like Steve Blake.
Day?
Spurs
Blake
Austin
Golden
Day.
Yes,
both of them. Blake, because ever since they got rid of Jared Jack, and we spoke about it all season long, they were missing him, and they got Blake, yo Terps, who is a good shooter, kind of clutch, a veteran, experienced. Kobe was upset that he was gone. He likes Steve Blake. And I think he, you know, even the first night, you know, when they went to overtime, beat the Rockets, Steve Blake, you know, had some quality minutes and could definitely help Golden State. Then, on the other side, Austin Day has never really showed himself, except for in Summer League, where he's shown things. You know, Ray, you get with Popovich and you get with that system, and sometimes players just, the light turns on when you get to the Spurs.
Yeah, why can't he be Anthony
Bonner
and, you know, a little bit of Anthony Bonner, a little bit of Boris Diaw, And the Spurs always need size. I mean, it seems like they're always undersized, and they're not as athletic as most teams on the wings. So, you know, Austin Day, still tall, still athletic, and maybe he can score a little bit.
And can score a little bit.
I like that move.
He could make some buckets. So let me ask you this. What about the Knicks? Not doing anything, and I think maybe they got shut down when Shumpert got hurt, sprained MCL. We wish him well the night
hurt.
Before the trade deadline.
Exactly. The night before the trade deadline. Look, the Knicks are once again selling the future. And the future for the Knicks is 2015, because 2014 is a dead year. The Knicks, by the way, are looking to buy out Beno Udrych and Meta World Peace. So I don't know if that's a
more veterans
thing,
man.
Or if that's whatever, but they're looking to make those
it's
two buyouts.
Thing.
So the Knicks are essentially selling you a 2015 roster, hopefully with Carmelo, but with nobody else, right? So complete salary cap, or nobody meaningful, right? No, complete salary cap flexibility. Maybe Tim Hardaway is still on the team. Maybe Shumpert, you sign him to your team option. But 2014 is going to be the next NBA season. 2014-15 is going to be a terrible one for the Knicks again, because there's no draft pick in the year where, you know, you're going to have your best draft in 10 years since the 03 draft with Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and Bosch and, of course, LeBron. So Knicks are in trouble. Carmelo drops 40 last night. They lose in double overtime with Magic. It's just waited out. If you're a Knicks fan, waited out.
Did you see Oladipo, baby?
That's your boy. He was one assist away from a triple-double?
No, he had the assist, one rebound away. He had nine boards, 14 assists, and like 26 points or something. He got busy.
That's your boy, Rookie of the Year. That's Tay's Rookie of the Year, Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, but I think MCW from the Sixers might scoop it up. He's really doing big things, Michael Carter-Williams. Speaking of doing big things, how about those Bobcats, Ray? 7th seed.
Oh,
the Hawks have dropped
Bobcats.
Down to the 8th seed.
So, you know what? The Bobcats might finish 6th, 7th, 8th in the East, because it looks like the Knicks are out of that spot. So it really comes down to Detroit. Atlanta's now sinking.
Slipping.
They're still an under 500 team. I still don't love their roster. I hated their draft picks, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Cody Zeller. I just don't like what they're doing. I don't like their roster. Kemba Walker.
Does this anger come from
me?
Jordan destroying the Knicks all those years? Is this where this inner rage comes from?
No. This is me really trying to look at the Bobcats objectively. I like the Charlotte Hornets back in the days. I like the Charlotte as a city. It's a fun town. You know, the Panthers are doing well. I wish Jordan well, but look at what he – I mean, drafted Kwame Brown, and he drafted Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and he drafted Adam Morrison, and he drafted Cody Zeller. And so I just think that they – now Rich Cho looks like he's doing a better job. I just don't like their roster. I'm sorry to say that. They might make the playoffs. And like we said on Ray and Tay, I'm going to have to go to NBA store, get myself a Charlotte Bobcats jersey, put it on, tweet it out. But we'll see.
Definitely.
Right now they're in the playoffs. And I can't take it away from them with an under 500 record, but that's just by virtue of playing in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and then interesting, you know, no move of Gasol, no move of Kevin Love. Not necessarily surprised. Suns don't do anything. Portland doesn't do anything. But is it a mistake for someone like Portland? Maybe they sign one of these five veterans that are out there that we're speaking of. Because Portland has dropped quite as kept to the 5th seed, right? OKC is 1. Portland's 5. Clippers maybe could, you know, use somebody. They're 4. You know, Phoenix is strong at 6. Golden State at 7. I just wonder. Teams like, you know, Golden State, you know, the Rockets had that big surge. They moved up to 3. Do Golden State and Portland still miss a piece? Because when Golden State did that move, yeah, you got Marshawn Brooks, who has showed something at the Nets and then disappeared for a minute. And then Bazemore, you know, they move him over to the Lakers, right? And they get Blake. But Draymond Green is sort of your big guy off the bench. They don't really have, you know, you just have Jermaine O'Neal. They don't have like a real Festus Ezeli. They don't have like a big banging power forward. I would have liked them to get Spencer Hawes. So do they look for a big baby Davis? Doesn't have the height, but he definitely is a wide body and can bang. What do you think about the Warriors?
So, well, you mentioned a lot of teams there. So let's talk about Portland.
Just Warriors
first of all, I said that the Warriors early in the season when they had the best record in the Western Conference, I said they're not for real in terms of a championship contender. They're a very good young team, and I love this Aldridge and Lillard combination. But they give up 103.7 points a game. So they give up way too much on defense. This team is not, over an 82-game season, they're not going to be a top, you know, a top team in the Western Conference. They'll make the playoffs. They're not. They're probably not going to be a top four seed. Those four teams are better than they are. The Clippers, Houston, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City. So I wanted them to bring somebody, a defensive player. So I was a little disappointed in that. Some toughness up front, or maybe a wing defender. They have some wing offensive talent, some serious wing offensive talent. Now, in terms of Phoenix, so. They're another team with all of those draft picks. Now, the draft picks are not going to be that great because they're going to be in the second half of the draft. They don't have a lottery pick because every one of their picks is protected. And their own pick is going to be obviously a pretty high pick. So even still, I expected them to maybe make a move because you got to strike while the iron is hot. That Western Conference is so tough that – you know, building up more youth and more talent to the draft is admirable, but at the end of the day, look, you're in the playoffs. Let's try and make some moves. So I was disappointed with them. And then Golden State, you know, after starting off gangbusters, then going into a slump, then they've been up and down. Now, look, Golden State's 33-22, right? So if they were in the Eastern Conference, they'd be the number three seed. Unfortunately, they're in the West, and they're the number seven seed. So, look, they made the move for Steve Blake, and like you said, that replaces Jarrett Jack, hopefully, because they were really in sync last year with Jack. They just couldn't afford to keep him. I don't know what that team is missing, but I don't know how Golden State gets over the hump with this roster. So I actually did want Golden State to do something
to get a big guy. You know they need a big guy.
They do. Look, David.
I mean, honestly,
David,
you
Lee
know,
is
Liam Bogut.
Yeah,
Liam Bogut need help.
They do. And you're right. Draymond Green's not the. I mean, he's a good serviceable player,
nice.
And he can stretch and he can play a little bit of three defending. You know, he can defend the three, maybe a little bit of minute, you know, a few minutes at the four. But yeah, they need.
He's
some
a true
beef.
Tweener.
They need some beef up front.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I was
a little
disappointed that more moves weren't made.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'll be interested to see what goes down with, these guys that are out there. Because I do think there are a couple of pieces, whether it's Jamison, Big Baby, Ben Gordon. They could definitely play quality playoff minutes to help
so
a team. You know what I mean?
If you're Big Baby's agent, and money's not an issue because Orlando buys you out, and then you clear waivers, let's say, by Monday, and you have your
Miami.
Choice. Where are you going?
I go to Miami or I go to Golden State. Miami for potentially definitely getting a ring. Golden State for maybe getting into the finals and getting more playing time.
You think Big
Baby and maybe a future.
Puts them into
contract.
The finals and puts Golden State in the Western Conference finals?
No, but this is the thing, right? Okay, you know we don't like jump shooting teams, right? It's not going to win you championships. But one thing I like about Golden State, I'll tell you this, what I would do. I think I would have Klay Thompson come off the bench, and I would start Barnes with Iguodala. I think Klay Thompson is sort of a Vinnie Johnson, a microwave where he just comes in and scores. I think they got it backwards in terms of their lineup, and it's hurting Barnes. And so... But if they had a Big Baby off your bench, you could have Klay Thompson, you know, come in, Draymond Green and Big Baby, and be part of your eight-man rotation along with Blake, and then you're just set. Those nine guys go to war, and I like it, you know. And what Big Baby can do is play a little 4-5, you know, depending on the matchups in the West. He is shorter, but his weight and his, you know, just his – bigness.
Girth.
His girth. He could box out and get rebounds against, you know, Aldridge, Duncan, whoever. And we all know he's got playoff experience. He's got the savvy, you know, playing with the Celtics in the playoffs for years. So I think Big Baby could do well. And quiet as kept, the Western playoffs is going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a fight. We don't know, is it a year where, and oh, by the way, like we said, what, 2 months ago, watch out for the Grizzlies as they get healthy, and here come the Grizzlies. And I'm surprised they didn't do a move, but, you know, I think getting, you know, these guys are probably going to wind up getting in the playoffs too, the Grizzlies, maybe get that eighth spot. But what you're seeing is that anybody could beat anybody. You know, why can't the Warriors upset or beat the Spurs this year? The Spurs aren't what they were, and all the injuries.
Bad matchup.
Maybe, you know,
Spurs.
Like Memphis. Yeah, and just like, or beat the Rockets, you know, if Dwight's not on his game and Bogut's playing good defense and Lee's scoring and drawing fouls. So we just don't know what's going to happen in the West. And, you know, as much as we both picked the Clippers to the finals, Ray, I still – who's going to get you that bucket in the clutch? And we're going to see it play out in the playoffs, and I want to see what happens with the Clippers, you know, as they go through the playoff rounds, and who and how do they score? So the West could be open. It really could. I mean, shoot, Memphis could come out for all we know. What do we know? You just don't know how it's going to play out. I mean, you know, we've been surprised before. So I can't wait. It's going to be amazing, but the West is going to be dangerous.
So, wake me up in April with the NBA, because I do want to talk NBA. Now, we are a few days away from March, so you know what that
Ooh.
Means. So we got to talk some March Madness.
Let's do it.
NCAA hoops. So we had last week an interesting week, right? We had the number one go down in Syracuse against Boston College at home, no less. And then we had number five, Duke, on the rescheduled game from the snowstorm last week,
mm-hmm.
basically not dominate, but they led at halftime against Carolina in Carolina, and then Carolina put it on them in the
Marcus
second half.
Marcus Page.
Yeah,
yo,
I went to that matchup,
so
1-3-1.
The Tar Heels, they were awesome.
Yeah?
That was awesome.
So Carolina, I don't know if you heard this stat, but Carolina has beaten all four preseason top four teams in the preseason.
Michigan
poll.
State, Duke, Kentucky, and who else?
Louisville,
yeah. There you go.
So because they have some bad ones.
Nobody's fighting
right?
the North
Belmont,
Carolina.
And they go 1-4 in the first five games of the ACC, but they have these four unbelievable wins. So Carolina's definitely a tournament team, and they may give some people some problems. They can't shoot, though, from two, from
right.
three, or the free throw line.
But you know this week they'll be ranked. They will be ranked this
oh,
week
yeah,
after
sure.
beating Florida State, big win on the road, and then beating Duke when basically they were sort of 26th in the nation. So look for the Tar Heels to be a top 20 team probably. And I think if they continue on, Ray, and they're showing pretty well in the ACC, they might mess around and be a 5 or 6 seed.
Yeah, look, if you're a 6 seed, you're a top 24 team, so you're ranked 20 to 24 in the country, which is about where they'll be this week. And then if they do a little bit of damage in the ACC tournament, then they could be, yeah, they could be a top 20 team, 15 to 20, something like that. I mean, they have four of the best wins in the country. So let me ask you this, though. Syracuse-Duke today, the rematch of that one-point unbelievable game a couple weeks ago. So what are you thinking about this?
I actually think Syracuse bounces back from their loss. They've played, honestly, 2-3 bad games in a row. I think they get back up for Duke. Now, Duke, possibly, most people would say they should have won the first matchup at Syracuse. Well, I think with Duke, what we're finding, number one, 4 games in, 8 days, it might be a little much. So, you know, the kids might be getting a little tired. We'll see.
Oh, these kids are 19 years old.
Ray, this is 4K. You know, you never know.
They play AAU. They play 2-3 times a day.
but let me ask you this. I don't think you're going to get enough from – they ask too much of Parker. And if Cook
yes,
and Dawkins are not hitting threes and Suleiman – and, you know, you only have Parker
Rodney
and Hood.
Rodney Hood is key, yeah.
And Jefferson doesn't do enough. I think Christmas inside. I think C.J. Fair, he's got he's got something going where he's stepping up, and I like Ennis stepping up in a big road situation. I'm really taking Syracuse for this game. I just think they're going to bounce back, and sort of, what could I say, upset Duke in Duke.
It's not really an upset, but this is going to be critical for Syracuse because they play them. And then they still have to play Virginia, quiet as kept.
Yeah.
Virginia
and
is
Maryland.
Very
and
nice.
And the Terps.
Oh.
We almost had Duke. Don't sleep on my Terps, baby. Don't sleep on my Terps, baby.
Oh, Lord. They're head to the Big Ten, so I can't even take them seriously as an ACC team anymore. Breaks my heart. What's Lenny Bias thinking right now in his grave? He's like, I played for the ACC.
Lenny.
Well,
wait, but let me ask you this. Speaking of Big Ten. What are you thinking, it has already tipped off, about this Wisconsin number 16 and number 15 Iowa matchup? This is a pretty a big game, I think, in the Big Ten this week and Saturday for, you know, seeding and stuff. You got to believe that, Wisconsin, they're up early, 36-29, but you got to believe this is a big game for both teams. What are you thinking in the Big Ten with this matchup and some of the other ranked matchups?
This matchup, and then on Sunday, tomorrow, we've got Michigan State, Michigan. So
yes,
these
rematch.
Are going to be some huge, huge matchups. I tell you what, it's so hard to predict the Big Ten because these teams are so evenly matched. I mean, they have different
they really
styles,
are.
But they're evenly matched. I can't wait for the Big Ten tournament. So, look, can Wisconsin go into Iowa and beat them? Sure. Can Michigan State and Michigan play to a tight, you know, matchup coming down to the last 2 or 3 minutes? Sure. I like Wisconsin and your boy Bo Ryan in any scenario, but certainly in a tournament scenario. The team that I really, really want to keep my eye on is the team that hit, 19 threes last week, Michigan State. If they can be healthy, I really think this year we don't have many elite teams, but if you were to put a list of elite teams together, I've got to think Syracuse is on that list, potentially – I guess Duke when they
Duke,
got it together, but they've got some issues.
Parker special.
And to me, Michigan State is on that
Michigan
list.
State
Michigan State's one of the three or four best teams in the country. When they're healthy and they're clicking and Tom Izzo and Keith Appling as a senior and Gary Harris
Dawson
is an NBA player, Adrian Payne, Dawson if he can be healthy. So I like Michigan State a lot. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they win the national championship. So I really want to look at Michigan State this year and see how they get healthy, see how they gel together, see how they play in that Big Ten. Now, Michigan's another interesting team. When Gary went down, we thought that Mitch McGarry, when he went down, we thought that their season's over.
It was over. Yeah.
But, you know, they're playing really, really well. And
great coaching job
Stauskas
at Beilein.
Is hitting his, Beilein's running his system. So I like the Michigan team, but I like Michigan State more. And I think that they'll continue to beat up on each other. Can't wait for this Big Ten tournament in a couple weeks. But keep an eye on Michigan State, and if they can stay healthy, I'm penciling them in as a Final Four team.
Yeah. Well, I got two matchups that I find interesting. I mean, number one, you got number 11 Louisville, who's up early, 17-9, on number 7 Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's been playing over their heads. You know, I told you about how I love Kilpatrick. Louisville is starting to – I think Louisville's starting to find their groove, Ray. Patino, one thing about him, you can always say, I mean, he can coach. And I think, you know, having Smith come back, little controversy with, you know, whatchamacallit, Bohannon leaving the team and transferring and all, you know, or getting booed or whatever. But I think this Louisville team is starting to find their groove. I won't be surprised they wind up – beating Cincinnati today, which will probably get them in the top 10. And then I find we'll get to the Marcus Smart return. We can see what do you think of them making a tournament. But in the Big 12, which arguably between the ACC, Big 10, and Big 12, it's clearly the three best conferences this year. Number 19, Texas, is at number 8, Kansas. And I think this Kansas team, I think they're going to beat Texas, but I think this Kansas team, Ray, when Embiid is back and completely, you know, healthy and just, you know, had a little rest. But Wiggins is starting to figure it out. I don't know if you noticed that. The last couple of games, he's starting to be a little bit more dominant, you know, having more confidence in his shot. I think the team is gelling. And, you know, the coach is, you know, top-notch coach. What do you think about Kansas? And then let's talk about Marcus Smart and Oklahoma State's chances for the tournament.
So I love Kansas. I think they're one of those elite teams. If you had to put four, if you just said throw a ball on the court, don't look at their record, just look at the team, I got to believe they're a team up there with Michigan State and Syracuse and Duke and maybe Wichita State. I love this kid Andrew Wiggins' athletic ability, and he's learning how to play in the clutch. He's made a couple of game winners. If Joel Embiid can be healthy, and then you've got Perry Ellis and you've got a couple of other role players, you know, on the perimeter, Tharp and a couple other folks, they've got really a team that is balanced. They've got size. They've got some athleticism at the wing. They've got some experience at the guard position. So by formula, this Kansas team can really
have everything you need.
Yeah. And their ace in the hole is Joel Embiid. I mean, who can guard him when he's on? And now he's had some injuries, and he's, you know, running up against that freshman wall in terms of endurance. But this guy can play, and I like this Kansas team. I think that Bill Self in the beginning didn't know what he had, but he's got a great shot to go also to the Final Four.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I think they beat Texas tonight. The bottom line is they take care of business, and I think they win. They win the Big 12.
You know who I'd like to see play? I'd like to see Kansas play your Florida Gators. I'd like to see that. That'd be a nice Final Four.
Yeah, that's the other team that's in that upper echelon. They're just so deep.
Yeah.
I don't know that they have the star power, right? Scotty Pippen is probably their best player, but
elite star.
They just have Prather and Patrick Young, and Murphy got hurt, but they had a bunch of, you know, just talented folks, and then Chris Walker, their freshman, who was suspended for the first half of the season, he's back, and they're trying to integrate him, but he gives them some size and depth off the bench, so that roster is probably the best in the country, and if Scotty Wilbekin can keep his head straight, he's tough, man. That Florida team could also win it all.
Now, you know, I don't sleep on your Gators at all. You know, they're going to be going pretty far in my brackets because I think, you know, Billy Donovan and with Scotty Wilbekin, it's a good, you know, we always say this, right? Guards sort of find a way to dominate the tournament, which is why you can't sleep on, like, number 23 UCLA. I like, you know, Zach LaVine and their whole little team. But I think it's going to be interesting. And you said it. Marcus Smart and Oklahoma State, they're 16-10. He comes back today. They need to really win out the next, I think there's, what, three, four or five games left in the season? Everything ends March 8th. So basically they need to win out to probably make the tournament, but they have the Big 12 tournament. And I could see them getting on a roll, and if they even just get probably to the championship or semifinals of the Big 10 tournament and play well the rest of the season, LeBryant Nash, Williams, they've got they're loaded of talent, and I think Oklahoma
State shooter,
Forte the shooter,
Smart,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma State and Smart gets going. They could be dangerous. They actually could be dangerous. Remember what they were, a preseason top five team.
So here's the scenario: suppose they win some games and they become a 10 seed, 11 seed. You know, that's a horrible matchup for a 6 seed. To go meet a number 11 Oklahoma State on a neutral court.
Yeah, right. They really don't want that. They don't want that. So, listen, before we wrap up the show, we'll give you the final 5-0. Finland beats the USA, and kind of disappointing. They get the bronze. It is what it is. You know, not much you could say. But let's just end with the NFL Combine. You know, we'll talk about it. We'll be back on Tuesday when it ends, so we'll be able to really talk about the quarterbacks and what Michael Sam does and these receivers and, the defense. Everybody wants to see Jadeveon Clowney. I'll say this. Last year in the first round, there were 9 offensive linemen taken. This year, the draft overall might be better. The linemen are probably better top-heavy. This kid, Greg Robinson and Jake Matthews, I mean, these guys are so athletic. Robinson's running, ran like a 4.8, Matthews a 5.0. I mean, they can, like, the guy was like 3.32, Ray, with like 6.5. I mean, they're monsters.
Yeah. You know,
I think it's going to be
irrelevant for a lineman.
No, it's the first 10. It's
10
the first
yards,
10.
But
it's all about the burst.
Just the fact that a man that large can run that fast is really unbelievable.
You mean a bear?
A bear.
It's like a bear.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable.
It's going to be good. So just real quick, though, you need a quarterback. You're the Cleveland Browns. You're the Jaguars. Who are you taking? You're going Blake Bortles. You're going David Carr. Not David Carr, his brother, Derek Carr. You're going A.J. McCarron. You're going Johnny Manziel. You're going Teddy Bridgewater. Who's going to quarterback your team if you're the Jaguars or the Browns?
So it depends on who's available, obviously. But I think A.J. McCarron is a serviceable backup. I don't think he starts in the NFL. Wouldn't mind drafting him in the fourth or fifth round if he's available as a backup.
Yeah.
The other guy's Blake Bortles. Look, he's big. He's prototypical. They 6'5", 230. I mean, that's your perfect, you know, quarterback size. Look, I believe that in this draft, it's so hard to tell, and it depends on systems and everything, but I believe in this draft that you're looking at Manziel potentially as an NFL starter and possibly Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not sold on Blake Bortles, so I think those two are my two top prospects in terms of getting a quarterback to lead your franchise for 10 years. I actually don't like this draft, frankly, for quarterbacks. I don't think any of them are, you know, there's no Luck or RG3s or Russell Wilsons even potentially out there. So you're taking a gamble. Look, I've grown to love Johnny Manziel, and this guy's competitive spirit is off the charts, but he also makes plays, and he made plays in the SEC, right? He didn't do it in Division I AA. So this guy was doing it against semi-pro defenses,
let's call them. Yeah.
So I'm taking a chance on Manziel. Quarterback's such an important position. He's young, he's cocky, he's brash, so you need to have a good network around him in terms of your quarterback's coach and your GM and your head coach. But
two major negatives, though, be honest. Two major negatives with Manziel. Number one, he's very light in the butt. You want to compare him to Breeze and Russell Wilson, he's not as big as those guys, definitely not Russell Wilson. And Russell always scrambles to throw down the field. And when he runs, it's real. You know, he doesn't get hit and he gets out of bounds. Johnny Manziel, he will get clobbered doing what he did in the SEC in the NFL. And the thing is, he's sort of a renegade gunslinger, and you don't know if you can teach that out of him. That's who he is instinctually.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
he's not big to do it like Big Ben. And then number two,
so he's Brett Favre, but in that respect, he's Brett Favre
and
Fran Tarkenton. In that, in terms of that,
but he does throw a lot of alley-oops. Like, he wanted to throw a lot of, you know, up for grabs at Mike Evans. That was fine maybe in college. I think a lot of those could get picked off in the NFL, though.
You're right.
So
you're right.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. I bet you the Texans don't take him, though. I don't think they
want
to deal with
that. The more I think about it, they have a history of taking what they believe the best guy to be there in their system. I think
they're
they take Kadarius Clowney. Yep.
I do.
Just like it's a
Mario
Williams.
Look, you look at the Seahawks, right? You can get that pass rush. If you can rush the quarterback with four guys, then it's easier to get the corners you need and stuff like that. So I bet you they go with Clowney, and they might even take an A.J. McCarron in the third round or Derek Carr late in the second. You know what I mean? You go get you Clowney, your second-round pick, get a corner. They definitely need another corner or safety. And, you know, in your second-round pick at number, 33, and then go get you your third or fourth pick, get you, you know, go see if you can get an A.J. McCarron, see if you can get a Taj Boyd even, you know. You know,
yeah,
let's see what Bill O'Brien could develop.
They have the 33rd pick, so you could potentially package that plus something else and maybe move back late into the first round if you wanted to and pick up a quarterback if somebody fell. I think Clowney, the more I think about it, from everything that's been said, I think they're going to go with Jadavian.
And don't sleep on Derek Carr, Ray. you know, I think maybe a little bit more athletic than his brother, David Carr, and definitely got some quarterback blood in his system. He's looked pretty good at the Senior Bowl and some of these places. Let's see how he spins it, as they say, on you know, his workout day. It's gonna be fun. So look, Ray and Tay, you know, good show. The combine is, you know, is on and rocking. We'll keep our eye on it. We always in the off season discuss and talk NFL. It's what, 24/7, 365 the NFL, if you want to be honest. So yeah. We're on it. We're on the college hoops. Ray wants everybody to wake back up in April for the NBA, but we're still on the NBA too.
I still watch. We do.
And I don't even want to talk about the Knicks last night. That was depressing, even though they played well in that double overtime loss to Orlando. The Knicks are just in a place right now where it's like, you know, win one, lose three.
You got to fall asleep on for 18 months.
Yeah.
And wake me up in 2015 in training camp.
I know,
in 2015.
But as a Knicks fan, right, I can go crazy about my Tar Heels. I'm excited, right? But we're Knicks fans, you know. Like, I can't.
But you know what? Let's not make moves. Let's determine that 2014 is a bad season. Let's not make some moves to try and do something in 2014 that sets us back in 2015. We finally have a chance to clean the roster and get rid of.
Do you believe
Melo
stays and takes less money? That's really the only conversation for next year. And this offseason, will he truly take less money?
I think he wants to stay in New York. I think he needs to get a firm commitment from Dolan and Steve Mills and everybody that they will build a championship team around him. So it really
comes down to that. Does he hire the new coach? Does he say, I need to be part of hiring this new coach? Is Woody gone after the season?
Yes. I think Woody's gone, but I don't know that Carmelo hires a new coach. But they'll certainly take his input, or
Who the heck is the new coach? I can't. Lionel Hollins. They don't want George Karl. Him and Melo didn't get along.
No.
Who's the next coach of New York Knicks? Or do they you find the next young up and coming, you know, guy, or do they try to lure
Brad
Thibodeau?
Stevens? You know, who's the next Brad Stevens? I don't know.
Ooh, Shaka Smart in New York? Shaka Smart in New York?
Yeah, but can Carmelo, going into what will be his 11th or 12th season, can he roll with Shaka Smart, right? He's going to want somebody that's a veteran.
Let me ask you this. Would your boy come back home? Would your boy come back? Would Calipari come back?
Oh,
no,
Calipari.
He's not coming back. Definitely not to the court. Would Calipari come back? He's getting tired of the Kentucky media, Ray. It's wearing on him.
And the New York
he's
media won't?
Down. No, but it's just different. You know, everything is Kentucky blue. The NBA is a new challenge. You know, he'll get like some leeway here. He'll get a lot of respect. Guys love him. He knows how to schmooze in New York. I could see Calipari jumping on this.
Maybe. He needs another challenge. So, all right, well, great show. We'll see you back on Tuesday. So check out probably regular time on Tuesday. Have a great sports weekend. Enjoy the college basketball, the pro basketball, the combine, everything. And we'll have it all wrapped up in a bowl for you on Tuesday.
Definitely. And, Ray, like we spoke about off air, as we end and go out, we got to say, good move for the Baltimore Orioles signing Nelson Cruz, baby.
Yeah, 1 year,
definitely
$8 million, so
move.
He gets to earn it back. So, look, all these guys that got suspended are getting their way, getting back on roster, so there's no stigma about this 50-game suspension. So we'll see how that plays out in the locker rooms. But we got some stuff. We'll start talking more and more baseball starting next week and going into spring training.
Yeah, spring training, definitely. Thanks for listening. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace.